And things like that we got planned for tonight. I'm excited, and I hope you are too. Please go home tonight and go to bed, y'all. Don't stay up all night. I ain't packed either, but I ain't unpacked from my last trip. I'll just take the same stuff. That's right. That's right. It's still in the floor in my bedrooms. I just fold it a little different and put it back in there. John chapter 6. Look here. Jesus said unto them, in verse number 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Every young person and every adult in here, if you'd believe that verse, it'd take care of the deep need of your heart. I preached this morning on what sin does to a Christian. What sin does to a Christian. If you were not here, you might ought to get that tape or CD tonight before you leave. What sin will do to a Christian. It's a serious thing. Never to be taken lightly. No such thing as a little sin. And sin always leaves you worse than it found you. Tonight, I'd like to talk just for a minute, and it's not going to be long, about what our kids need in this generation. There's three things. Now listen a little bit, brother. There's three things, four, I want to say tonight. And the first thing I want to say is they need courage that does not fail. Brother Mike, give me on this one just a tad, please. Courage that does not fail. You know, it takes a lot of courage for a young person today to go out and face this world. And that's why a lot of them maybe flip out and get on drugs and do all kind of crazy things, because they don't have the courage to face life and all of its problems. I knew a boy one time up in Marion who jumped off top of one of them buildings on one of them mills up there, cotton mill in Marion. Killed himself. And I remember at one time, I don't know if it still is, but from the ages of 15 to 24, that suicide is the second leading cause of death among teenagers and young adults. Second, you know, first is car wrecks. Second leading cause of death is suicide. And the reason is because I knew a girl not far from here, 15 years old, having some problem, you break up with your boyfriend, have bad grades at school, afraid you're going to get caught, think you're pregnant, all kind of stuff like that. This girl went and got her daddy's gun, went out on the porch, or the carport, and waiting on the school bus, and put that gun to her head, took her life just like that. Stuff like that happens, and it happens every day. There's as many teenagers commit suicide every year as Freedom High School has in it. We're losing one whole high school the size of Freedom every year by teenagers committing suicide. Young people. And you know why? No courage. They don't have any courage to face life. And I remember feeling like that. It takes courage to face life. I mean, you start thinking about this. You start thinking about there's diseases everywhere. The economy's looking bad. The outlook is grim. Teenagers think, well, I want to go out and get married, but the divorce rate is so high, you're scared to get married. You know, because 65% of marriages ending in divorce, and you think, my goodness, what's... And if you're not careful, it'll all pile in on you, and you just think, there's no reason to live. I just take my own life. It takes courage. And guess where that courage comes from? It comes from a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people's bragged on me and told me before, falsely. And I've heard this for years. They say, boy, Brother Danny, he's got guts. That boy, he's brave enough. But really, I'm not. Really. Really, I'm a big chicken. But when I believe the Lord's with me, I can do anything. Amen? I really feel like that. I think I can do anything if I know the Lord. It makes all the difference in the world when you're right with God and you know He's with you. So our teenagers need courage that don't fail. Amen? There's the giant. Old David come out there that day. And there's a big old giant. Goliath was 9.5 foot tall. That would be probably, I don't know. That's about 11 feet right there.
almost 2 feet from the top of that ceiling. His head would be almost top of that sign right there. That's a big dude, brother. And he come out there, and everybody was scared to find him. They didn't have guns. You couldn't just shoot him. They had to fight hand-to-hand combat with rocks and swords and clubs, whatever they could get their hands on. Buddy, back then when you had a war, you had a war. I mean, there wasn't none of this. There wasn't none of these rules that you go by and the conventions that they had meet in. You just bust them in the head, cut their head off, stab them, leave them bleeding. I've often thought about that. In one of them battles, when maybe you was wounded, laying out there bleeding, and your men's done run off, or they're laying around you dead. And some of them laid there for days and days and days and bled to death and suffered and starved in their face in that sun and in that sand. And died like that. And brother, they fought. Listen, these tough guys now, they ain't tough like them fellows was in the Bible. David's mighty men, old Samson took the jawbone of a donkey and busted up some men. I mean, killed 1,000 men. He just went through there, wham, 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 wham. I mean, and I would have liked to have seen that. Wouldn't you like, Rocky, are you kidding? I mean, these prize fighters now, can you imagine Samson taking a jawbone of an ass and killing 1,000 men? Wouldn't you like to have seen a movie of that? I mean, boy, I mean, bam, bam. Here comes 40 of them. Wham! I mean, here come a boom, pow, pow, pow. 1,000 men. Now, there's a tough feller. But he did it when the Lord's power was upon him. Now, young people, you listen to me tonight. You're facing giants. Teenagers, y'all are facing giants. It's not Goliath that's 9.5 feet tall, but it's drugs. And alcohol and sexual temptations and the temptation to give in, especially drugs, especially alcohol, because they're going to put it to you. They're going to put it to you. You're going to go out there to go back to school here in a few weeks, and you're going to go to a football game, or you're going to go somewhere, and those kids are going to say, here, you want to sip? Here, you want to take? You want to drag off of this? You want to smoke this? And it's going to look 9.5 foot tall. And the only way you can say no is know that the Lord's on your side. I've had people tell me I didn't want to do it, but I was scared what they'd think about me if I didn't. It takes some courage. Amen? I'll never forget when I first got saved. I wanted to witness, but I was afraid to witness in Marion. I'd witness in Morganton or somewhere else we'd go, but I was afraid to witness in Marion. Because I just graduated from high school. And everybody in town knew me, especially from playing basketball. Because our ball team, well, it was the first time our little team had ever went to the state playoffs my senior year. And so it was all in the paper, you know, and big, you know, we done this and we done that. And especially they had a big write-up on me because I hit, I think, 11 out of 13 free throws one night in the last couple of minutes in the game, decided the game. And they put a big write-up, Castle, this and that. And everybody knew me. Well, I got saved. And when I got saved, I remember boys wanting to go uptown in Marion and give out tracts. And I wanted to real bad, and I was chicken. I hate to tell you that, but I was chicken. And I remember they'd be up there doing, giving out tracts, and I wanted to do it so bad, but I was scared. You say, Brother Danny, some of you are sitting right here tonight, you're scared to death to go give out a tract. You're scared. A grown man, and you're scared. A grown woman, and you're scared to give out a tract. You're afraid to. What makes you like that? I'll tell you what. You don't have that confidence that the Lord can give you. And I remember one time, there's these boys preaching on the courthouse lawn in Marion, and there's some church of God up there in town somewhere, and I tell you, I liked it. I liked it. I said, man, I want to do that. I want to do that right there. That's what I want to do. It looked like such a blessing. They was getting out there saying, the Bible said, cars running up and down the road, people laughing at them. I said, I want to do that. I want to let the world know that I'm on the Lord's side. I did. And I still do. When I'm in a crowd of people, I want them to know that I'm on His side. And I chickened out. And one of my friends preached. Another one preached. They said, you going to preach? I said, oh, I don't know. And we went down to the Little Buck. How many of you from Marion here tonight remember the Little Buck in Marion? Okay. The Little Buck was a little restaurant right down Main Street. Best foot-long hot dogs in the North Carolina. You could get at the Little Buck. I mean, that's where all the cool people at the Little Buck. And if you're really old, you remember the Jumbo. Does anybody remember the Jumbo? A few old-timers in here. I remember the jumbo restaurant. It was out there, Marion, on the 5 lane. You know, you're from a little town when you got 1 5 lane. And we go out there and get a hamburger. But we went to the Little Buck and ordered a hot dog. Back then, you'd get 3 hot dogs for $1. And buy you a drink. And boy, we sat down there and I was eating them hot dogs. And they said, man, we had fun. Man, what a blessing. Man, we enjoyed it, man. And I said, foot long. No pun intended. But I remember I said, doggone it. I said, if I live for next Saturday, I'm going to do it. I said, I've cheated out of a blessing. I was cheated. Well, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and the next Saturday I did it. But it takes courage. It takes courage. If you're not afraid to witness that person you work with tomorrow, then do it. Witness to them. Some of you have been working with that person for weeks, months, and still haven't witnessed to them. And if you're a boss man and you've got people working under you, man, you've got the law on your side. Get them all together and say, hey, boys, let's pray. I mean, tell them about the Lord. They got to listen to you. You got the edge, amen. The tough man's one got the edge. And so, listen, it takes courage, amen. It takes courage. I was thinking about this evening, going to camp. And boy, I have some mighty good memories of camp. I really do. I really do. I have not a whole lot of bad memories, really. I had a bunch of boys one time that I was in charge of. We had a room about as big as from right here to the flag. One room. I think I might have had 16, 18 boys in there. And I'm telling you, buddy, you stay in a room with 16, 18 boys, teenagers, that don't take a shower and for 4 days. Saying that, buddy, you'll put a clothespin on your nose, bless God, before you walk in. I'm telling you, it'll knock you down. And they say the girls are worse. I don't know. But that's what I've heard. But it could be. It smells like something soured in there. And I remember them boys, we was talking about it before, no air conditioning. No. No, we might have been blessed and had a fan. But I remember Sister Lorraine there. She slept in the kitchen floor, didn't you? Boy, I'm telling you, that's dedication. She slept on the kitchen floor, y'all, and cooked all day long and all that. You bunch of sissies nowadays, you don't know what camp is. I mean, brother, we was in there and it was hot. Good Lord. I mean, we took our shower. I didn't take no shower. We took a bath in the lake. I'd grab me a bar of soap. Who's going first, boys? But you know, we just dive in there, put soap all over your hair, and soap your legs up, and soap up, and then dive in, rinse off. You're done. You're good for the day. You're going to stay soaking with sweat anyway. Ain't no use getting clean, except your first sweat don't stink. And then after you dry and sweat again, that's when it starts stinking. Your first sweat don't stink unless you eat garlic and onions and stupid stuff. I don't eat stuff like that. So my first sweat don't stink. But that second and third and fourth, after it dries and you sweat again, dries and you sweat again, it gets a whang to it after a while. And finally you walk in there and say, boys, somebody go, boys, y'all, I can't stand this. And we've been there, you're like that fella. You've heard me tell it. You're like that fellow that went to college, and he went to college and walked in went downtown to a local store there where they sell clothes. He said, well, I'm here for the year of college. He said, I want 7 pairs of underwear. And the guy said, why? He said, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I wear them all 7, then I wash them, start all over again. The guy said, well, that makes good sense. He said, and my roommate be down here tomorrow. He went ahead and bought his 7 pairs of underwear and left. Next day, his roommate comes in. He said, I want some. My buddy told me he came. He said, I want 12 pairs of underwear. He said, 12? He said, yeah. He said, why 12? You better. He said, January, February. That's bad. But some of them practice that. I ain't kidding you. I mean, I've seen some of them boys, their socks, when they take them off, they stand up by themselves. That's no lie. They look like a cast. Where somebody's had a broke leg, their socks stand up. And they're white. They was white. But they're black. I mean, it's rough, brother. It's rough. I mean, you know what? I said, you say, Lord, in mercy, didn't the health inspector? We didn't tell the health inspector. He had more important things to do. Amen. If he'd have come out there, we'd have run him off. We had a great time. Amen. I've told you before, and I won't take time to go into a lot of this again, but we had some good time, and man, we had some rough times. I had a dune buggy out at one camp one time, And somebody let us borrow a dune buggy. And I'm telling you, we had the best time ever was with that thing. It was muddy. Lord, it rained every evening. And I'd go flying out the road with this dune buggy. And I think I'd carry on there. Was you on there that time we wrecked? Heard somebody else, we was on the dune buggy one time, and I just hit them big mud puddles, and it'd come up over you. They was literally covered in mud. I mean, when you come back, your face was mud, in your hair, everywhere. It was the best fun ever. And them girls, y'all, how many rode that? Did you ride that thing? You did, but you remember it, don't you? Miss Vicky there, she worked out there. Lorene worked out there. I mean, them was good days when you could have fun at camp. There were no stupid rules. And boy, I tell you what, we went out through there, and I hit this mud puddle, hit another mud puddle, and it started getting in my eyes. And I do, every time I hit one, I'd do like that, and then I'd look, and boy, we was having fun. We'd slide around in the mud. It went around pretty good there for about an hour, and I come flying around this curve, and Linda Ritchie, Crystal's mom, come around this way. She had a little old Honda, and I just closed my eyes. We was doing 40 miles an hour. I just closed my eyes. Went BAM! And hit the side of her car and mashed the whole thing in. And we just kept hitting. I still got a knot on my elbow right there. Something hit my elbow. And we went on, and that ended the dune buggy rides. We didn't get to do it no more. Some fool come out there one time and had a station wagon. Y'all remember that guy had that station wagon? He was some doctor in Marion. And his boy come out there, had a station. That guy was crazy. He had a station wagon. We rode that thing through the woods. I never been on such a ride in my life. Carowind couldn't touch it, brother. We was going through the woods in a station wagon, and you go airborne like a Dukes of Hazzard. Blam! And up like that. Hey, man, boy, we had a time. You say you mean that's what y'all do at camp? Well, that's just something you do in between church services. If they don't have fun, they ain't going to get right with God anyway if they hate it. But I tell you what, we had a time. I remember one time, I told you before, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, finally got everybody settled down. What we used to do, we'd make the kids go to bed about 12, and then when they'd all go to bed, we'd bring out watermelon, and we'd sit out there on the picnic table and eat watermelon. And we was out there one night. That's that night we seen that big plane drop them drugs in the lake. You remember that? There was a big giant plane bigger than this building come right over, way down there. And she said, they're dropping drugs in the lake, brother. And they probably was. They probably was. I wouldn't doubt it. I never even thought about that. And somebody go out there and pick them up. But anyway, Gina seen a UFO on the road. But I was finally laid down with sleep. I mean, I was tired, brother. Tired. You go all day long, 6 in the morning, 1 the next morning. Somebody said, Brother Danny, wake up, Brother Danny. I said, what is it? I ain't been asleep an hour. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, come here. It's Kelly Tucker. Come out there. She said, Brother Danny, come here. Come out here. I said, what is it? I'm dying. She said, these boys are out. These boys, it was so hot, they're sleeping on a boat. Somebody had a pontoon boat, and there's about 10 of them decided they'd go out and sleep on a boat because it was a little cooler, and it was laying all over there. Well, some wise guy goes out there in the middle of the night and unties that boat and just give them a little shove like that. They was a mile out yonder. Help! Help! They didn't have no keys. They were screaming, help! I said, I'm going to kill whoever done this. I mean it. I think it was Eric Howe. No, I don't know who it was. I said, I'm going to kill whoever done this. I mean it. I'm all for having fun. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to kill them. We had to crank up a boat and go out there and hook a rope to that thing and tow them back in. About 3 o'clock in the morning, here we got back. By the next morning, I was mad. And everybody knows it takes a lot to get me mad. I can just go with it and go with it and go. And I said, listen, I'm going to kill whoever did that. And I want to know who it is, and I mean it. I said, ain't no sense in that. Nobody never did. I think it's one of Carrie's boyfriends. Back in them days. Said, hey, what good did that do, preacher? I don't know if it done any good. But I'll tell you one thing. When the glory comes down and the power of God falls and they start giving up this and getting called to preach. It's like that's where he got called to preach. Is that where you got called to preach? Or did you get called to preach at home down yonder? Listen, you never know. You never know. You never know what God's going to do. We used to have these gross out contests. And I had to stop that. How the gross out contest got started, my cousin Dan Bellini was over at my house. It was about 3 or 4 days before going to camp. And it was just like a night before we went to camp. And I was feeding my bulldog, and I had this bowl of dog food, and I mix in stuff with the dog food so the dog will like it. I poured some milk in there and put some cereal and stuff and mixed it all up. Now it looked bad. And I was just cutting up him, and I said, "I'll give you $20 if you'll eat a spoonful of this." He said, "No, I ain't going to do it. There ain't no way." I said, "Oh, come on, man, $20. It ain't going to hurt you." He said, "I ain't going to do it. You're crazy." He said, "I'll give you $20 if you'll eat." I said, "Pull your $20 out." He said, "You won't." I said, "Pull your $20 out." He pulled out $20, and I took the biggest bite of that dog food as I could get, and I put it in my mouth and chewed it up and swallowed it. And I'm telling you, you know, it tastes just exactly like it smells. And the bad thing is, it gets down in your stomach, and you taste it. I tasted that stuff all night long, man. I mean, you burp it up, and it's horrible. I was like, "Stop, I didn't think it'd be that bad. I thought it was about a little bit of step below potted meat or something." And I remember I ate that stuff, and he goes to church and starts telling me, "You know what he did? He ate dog food. Pastor ate dog food. Brother Daddy ate dog food." Well, that became a big joke. Well, when we got to camp, they started betting each other. "I'll bet you won't do this. I bet you won't do that." And we didn't bet. He just said, "I'll give you $20 if you do it." And I said, "No, it ain't." And "No, it's not. If I pay you $20 to do something, that ain't a bet. That's a reward." Whatever. And anyway, it's a bribe. Yeah. Yeah, worse. It's a bribe. But anyway, we got out there and they started saying, somebody said, "Well, I'll do this, and I'll eat a granddaddy spider, and I'll eat," and they's doing it. I said, "No, wait a minute here now. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it organized. Tonight after church, we'll have a gross out contest. Whoever can do the most grossest thing, the most gross, the grosser, gross, grosser, and grosserest, I said, will be the winner." Well, it went from dog food to then we had hot dogs. And we had these two boys, the terrible two, they could only say it. And these two boys fixed a hot dog and they put a red worm, a big giant red worm in there for the hot dog in the bun. And then they put dog food on it for the chili. And then they put shaving cream on top of that. And they both held one end of it like that. I said, "All right, go." And they eat that. Now I'm telling you, shaving cream, bro, that'll put you in the hospital. That stuff's got chemicals or something in it. And I said, "Y'all crazy. I ain't eating no shaving cream. I've had shaving cream in my eyes before when we get in fights with it. And that stuff, it'll burn your eyes out. I think it's like, I don't know what's in that stuff." But they said, boys eat them two hot dogs. And then they're eating granddaddy's spiders. And then they said at one time at camp, I didn't let them do it theirs, but these four girls got up like this. One of them took her toothbrush and some toothpaste and a glass of water. She brushed her teeth in, spit in the glass. She gave it to the next one. She brushed her teeth in, spits in the glass. She gave it to the next one. She brushed her teeth in, spit. The last one drunk it. That's right. That's bad. You say, "What's that got to do with church?" Nothing. What good did your vacation do them kids? Well, anyway, when you're poor, that you got to have fun the poor way. Didn't have enough money, you know, go the wilds. But anyway, this gross out contest, that somebody got some of that green slime stuff. Everybody was playing with it back then. I don't know what that stuff was. And they started eating that stuff. And I said, "No, this is going to stop right here." I just see it in my mind. Somebody going to the hospital, some kind of chemical poisoning, and we'll say, "Why did you let them eat?" I don't know. They eat it. so we quit it. But I'm telling you, The good part is, when the Lord moves and God gets a hold of young people's hearts. And the good thing about camp is, there's no TV, no radio, no newspaper, no touch with the outside world for 4 or 5 days, and God starts talking to you. God starts talking to you. Now, I love it when we all gang up and play Alabama and basketball and beat them every time. We do, every time. We're going to play them tomorrow night, about 9 o'clock tomorrow night, and the next night, Tuesday night. Hopefully by Wednesday, our minds will be off of that and on spiritual things. But tomorrow night and Tuesday night, we got ball games scheduled. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. The only way that our kids are going to be able to face life is to get their courage from the Lord. You watch. You remember when you used to give your testimony? You know where you got that? You got it from the Lord. You know why you don't do it now? You chickened out. You got to have courage from the Lord. I'm just going to say a thing to you and I'll quit. Young man, you listening? You started today on life's journey. Alone on the highway of life. You'll meet with 1,000 temptations. Each city is evil with strife. The world is a stage of excitement. There's danger wherever you go. But if you're tempted in weakness, have courage, my boy. Say no. The harlot's sweet smile may allure you. Beware of her cunning and art. Whenever you see her approaching, be guarded and haste to depart. The bars and the discos are inviting, decked out in their tinsel and show. But when they ask you to enter, have courage, young people, to say no. Be careful in choosing companions. Seek only the brave and the true. And stand by your friends when you're in trouble. Never changing the old for the new. And when by false friends you're tempted, the taste of the wine cup to know, with firmness, with patience, with boldness, have courage, young people. Say no. You need courage. We need courage. I know teenage boys that'll play football but are scared to give a testimony or give out a gospel tract. Scared. Chicken. They need courage. I know teenage girls that are scared out of their wits to tell the other girls at school, no, I don't do those type of things. I don't go to them kind of places. Scared. That's sad. That's sad. I want you to have courage tonight. I'm going to stop right here. I want you to have courage. I want you to say, Lord, like little David when he went and fought that giant, I'm going to fight giant. Now, we got a lot of stuff planned for camp this week. We'll have skit. We'll have ball games and we'll obstacle course. And they got a zip line. You fly through the woods. And they got a pool. And they got a gymnasium. And they got volleyball court, and they got ping pong tables, and they got all that kind of stuff. But I want you to get a good dose from the Lord. And don't wait till the last night. Miss Desi, just come on and play softly tonight. And I wonder, let me just say, hey, you know what, Brother Denny? I don't want to wait till Wednesday night or Thursday night. Man, I want to get my heart right with God tonight. And last year, I went in there before church started, and Brother Jason was playing, and they was ganging up around the piano singing. Man, we got started off just right that first night. And if you're here tonight and you're not yet to go, you got to go to work tomorrow. And you don't get to go to camp. I'm asking you, would you fast? If God laid it on your heart, would you fast? If you can't do it all day, at least part of the day, fast for us. Pray for our physical safety. Pray for that old bus that it'll make it. Newest bus we got, we're taking. It's a 93. That's a new one for us. And let's pray that God will help them. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's pray tonight. You want to come and pray? Just come on right now. Let's ask God to do a work in our heart. And let's ask God, Lord, I want you to do something for me, Lord. I want you to do something for me at camp. And if you don't get to go, say, Lord, I want you to do something for them and do something for me while I'm staying at home. Amen. God will bless you for it. God will bless you for it. Father, please do what ought to be done right now. God, help all these young people have courage. They're facing a lot of stuff. Lord, they're facing stuff some of us didn't even have to deal with when we was growing up. God, all the temptations, all the sin, all the devil throws at them. I pray the Holy Ghost to come down. Move upon them. God, we pray. Have your way in our hearts. Do what ought to be done, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch them. Lord, touch them tonight. Have your way. Have your way in our hearts. We love you. Amen. We're praying tonight. We're praying.